Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, why don't you shout unto God with a voice of triumph? How about that one time? There you go. There you go. Yes. Hey, we create the atmosphere the Holy Spirit operates in. So one more time. We're not just yelling. We're not just making noise. We shout unto God with a voice of triumph. There you go, right there. Yes. Now, high five somebody. I mean a hearty, oaky high five and have a seat. Come on, it's got to sting a little bit. Man, if you're a tenderfoot in here, when we high five, it's going to be a little stinger. You might have a dead arm. It might be a... I remember the first time I ever... Anybody ever had a dead arm? Anybody ever where you got hit and your arm just went dead? And I was like 7 or 8 years old. I walked by my grandpa Shear And it's like, bang, and my arm, I almost didn't feel it. It hurt so much. My arm went dead. And I looked at him, and he's like, you know what that was for? I said, no. He said, nothing. Just think if you'd have done something. I did not like that man very much. But he was my grandpa, you know, Papa Shear. I don't really even have any issues about it, you know? Man, it's great to be here. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. It's great to be with y'all. It really is. So many great things happening here at our church in people's lives. And I know you go through things. And Sunday, how many of you guys were here Sunday? Anybody here Sunday? Man, what a strong word, Sunday, huh? Talk to me. Somebody talk to me. I should have got a few more texts and emails than I got, But it was a good word. How many of you guys think it was a good word? You're not getting that to your grandmama's Baptist church, that word right there. I'm just telling you. We didn't just go David and Goliath on you or anything like that, right, Eric? Man, that was a strong word. And I'll tell you why. Because to me, there's things that happen in our lives, and we blow them off as, and this is the title of the message, it's just not that big a deal. And that's the title of the message, that it's not that big a deal. And because I look at it, it's interesting because with this, if you think about, and I think about this, I think most people, they get the concept of Christianity and the concept of God and the concept of church and the concept of the tithe and concept of serving and they get I think they understand the concept of it, the concept of being a husband, a father. They get the concept of that. I don't know that anybody's just walking around just ignorant of being a father, okay? But then actually being a dad requires us to take a pretty significant step, and that step, it's not so much a step in the length of the step, but it's the step into part of it, where it's the commitment, okay? The commitment of a Christian, the commitment of the local church. You know, most people don't get the local church, the whole idea of it. The local church is the hope of the world. The local church is the hope of our community. The local church is the hope of your neighborhood, your school. You know, Jeremy praying for kids starting school tomorrow and this week is a big deal, because that's just not happening. That's not happening over at the Elks Lodge. That's not happening in the Rotary Club. That happens at the local church. But we're not just praying. We're taking responsibility for those kids. Man, we're believing God. We're believing God that there aren't going to be any suicides this year in the name of Jesus. That families aren't going to break up in this church. And other things, that men and women are going to be strong and full of faith when they raise their kids. But that requires a commitment. And my working definition of commitment, just to make it simple, okay, since I'm the pastor, I'm the head guy here, I get to define some things, and our definition of commitment, for practical purposes here, don't go all Webster on me, is you've entered a room with no exits, okay? So if I've entered a room with no exits as the pastor of this church, I'm not looking for a way out. I'm not looking for what's next. It's interesting because if somebody comes up and talks to you, and I get this a lot, and somebody comes up and talks to me, and they say hi. Glenn normally does, okay? If I'm like this, if Glenn comes up and says, "Hey, Glenn, how you doing?" and I'm like this, man, that that's not ministry. That's not helping. It's really not. And I think all too often we know we got a lot going on. I know in my role here, in my function here, in my office here, there's a line of people behind Glenn, but I have a duty as the pastor of this church to lock in with Glenn. It might be 6 or 8 seconds, it might be 10 or 15 seconds, it might be 30 seconds. It's never gonna be more than that. Glenn's never gonna require more than that. Okay? But I'm gonna give that to him. Why? Because I've made that commitment. But see, then you look at it, you think, okay, yeah, that's a big deal, that commitment. No, we're not stopping there. We go from commitment to submission. And that's why the commitment's so easy for me. The commitment to the local church is easy because I'm submitted to God. I'm submitted to his promise. You got to make sure you're Velcroed in and your seatbelt's on here. I'm submitted to you. I really am. I live my life. I make decisions. I make personal decisions in my life with you in mind. And that the whole idea of this is that those who teach are held to a stricter standard. Don't just take it. Don't think, well, man, I got a word, and man, I think I know God's word. I know His promise. I can teach. I think that I'll step in and be a teacher. No, you know what Paul said? Paul said, look, make that decision very carefully because you step into a stricter standard. I'd venture to say that ministry people in this room live by a much stricter standard than just normal everyday people. People, and I'm telling you, the people that are growing in here, the people that are growing in God, the people that their commitment's getting stronger, man, those are people that are submitted to God, submitted to His word, submitted to this church, submitted to the leadership, submitted one to another. Man, we make decisions in our lives with God in mind, His promise in mind, His church in mind. Man, the whole idea. I mean, it's important for me that in leading this church, that man, my leadership style is to start things. My leadership style is to take advantage of the leverage that we have in this community and communities around us. And man, I got an itchy trigger finger. I got my finger on the trigger, and I'm ready to go. But I've got to be careful because you know it's cool when you have a baby. Anybody in here ever had a baby? Anybody in here ever had twins? That's a different ball. Anybody had twins in here? That's a whole different ball game because it's two of them. And you need a good husband because you're outnumbered otherwise. Man, anybody in here ever had triplets? I couldn't imagine triplets. It's like, you know, it's funny because people say, man, I wish I would have had a twin. It's like, I'm not so sure. Man, you think about it. Man, your birthday, you're sharing it. I hear people whose birthdays around Christmas time, they always feel like they're getting ripped off because everybody's celebrating Christmas. It's like, hey, wait a second. Everyone's not allowed to celebrate. It's my birthday. Well, if you had twins, I mean, my gosh, with you guys, it's like, I mean, no, you got to let your sister, you got to let your brother have a little bit of cake too. No. But the point is that we get to a place where we can't just have the concept of this. I don't want you just to leave here with a concept of the tithe. Other, if it's just a concept of the tithe, you're thinking, yeah, they just want my money. It's they need to pay the bills. Oh, sure. There's people in here that don't tithe. I know that. Well, you know what? You're eating on someone else. The Bible says so that there's food in my Father's house. That's why we give. That's why we tithe. So that there's ample for everybody when they come in, knowing some people don't. But you have to understand that at some point that, man, somebody else is paying your bill, paying for your ticket. And I'm not talking about your ticket to heaven. I'm talking about the privileges and the perks and the local church. Man, what you get here, you get help, you get people to pray for you. Let me just tell you, we don't charge for that, but it's invaluable. But what if this, and I talk about the concepts of things. I've talked about that Sunday. I talked about it today. And what about your concept of sin? We don't talk about sin much in here. What if we changed? What if we corrected our concept of sin? And I think it's going to help everybody here. You guys watch it on the internet. You guys at Skytook. Let's welcome everybody at Skytook in here today. Come on. How about Skytook? Let's welcome everybody. Man, all the military people all over the world that watch this and listen to podcasts and serve at us. Man, I'm proud of those guys. Man, I'll tell you, and I'm appreciative, but what if we changed or corrected our concept of sin? If you look at the Greek word for sin in the Bible and the literal translation, I know that we think about sin as being dark and dirty and filthy and ugly and at least this, separating us from God, right? How many of you guys would say that kind of sums up your definition of sin? Well, I think we can correct that concept. Okay, then it can help us be committed and submitted to God's word where sin doesn't have a hold of our lives anymore. And it's interesting because the whole world, I mean, the world revolves around a sin nature, a broken system, and we're living in it, but we're not of it. But we get in there and we man, you're around somebody that you're riding in a car with somebody that smokes. You get out of that car, you're gonna smell like smoke. And you see, that just happens. And we walk around so much, and it's like, I feel like I smell like smoke. And you haven't been smoking, listen, there's a repercussion in our lives, and this might sound, I think it's gonna sound cool. But there's the effects of secondhand smoke, and we know about that now, it's scientific, but there's also effects of secondhand sin. What our sin does with other people, especially people that are around us. And I'm gonna give you an illustration here in a minute that I think is gonna really help you. But let's correct or let's change our concept of sin, or look at it. But the literal translation of sin in the Greek is missing the mark. All have missed the mark and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? And we miss the mark. That's simply what it is. And it's interesting because I think I'll go to my illustration now because I'm excited about it. But if I have some darts here, and these are like pro darts, aren't they? So this will be bullseye, bullseye, bullseye. You know what I'm saying? Have I told you about my shoulder? No. Anyway, but you got your target right here. How far am I away right now, Monty? Like 150 feet, right? Okay. I'm like a quarter mile. I'm like a marksman right now, okay? But no, for real, how far am I, okay? Yeah, 150 feet, okay. So I'm gonna take a shot. How many of you guys think I could hit the bullseye from here, huh? Anybody in here? Not even you, Juan? Shoot, okay. Okay, so there's nobody, right? So how many of you guys think there is no chance I'm gonna hit the bullseye? Can I see your hands? Hey, you can't, come on, my gosh. Okay, so from 150 feet, okay, here we go, baby. Are there any stagehands back there or anything? Okay, so from here, I took a shot. There was pretty good form, right? Any of you guys? We know you're in a pub or something. If you're like judging me I could hit a. Okay, so I missed from here. What would your advice be? Get a little closer. So I'm gonna move up to like 100 feet now. Okay, so let's take a shot here. Oh, I hit the board. I'm on the board. All right, because I think I scored. I think I scored some points. Can anybody see? Yeah, that's a good shot right there. Okay, so I'm 100 feet away from 150 feet. I missed it by inches, by millimeters, okay? So here's the deal. If I need to get closer to the bullseye and you want me to hit the mark, what do you recommend I do? Get a little closer. Do you like where I am now? Huh? Okay, you like where I am now? You got this right here, look. That's pretty close. That's oh wow, okay? But did it hit the mark? No, and since I have a faulty dart and have one left, I have one dart left, what would you recommend that I do? Get a little closer. How about this? This close? little closer. How about this close? I would, if I were you, I would tell me to get this close. Okay, why? Because I can hit the mark from here. Look here. Okay. Hopefully this illustration helps you, because what James says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. You draw near to God, I think it's James 4:8 or something. He'll draw near to you, and that makes your throw so much. You can hit the mark if you draw near enough. And see, you miss the mark because you're not close enough to God. You miss the mark. Do you understand that you could live a sinless life? Jesus did. He was our example in that. How could Jesus be tempted in like manner as us, yet not know any sin? Because he was so close to God, all he had to do was stick it in the, hit the mark. Here was like mine, man. I'm giving it that. I'm feeling like all Joe Namath and stuff. You know, I'm doing. But Jesus didn't throw like this to hit the mark. Jesus just went like this, and he never missed. I'm telling you, I want to live my life and never miss. I want to live my life and honor God so much that I never miss. I never fall short of his glory ever again. But see, in order to do that, we have to hit the mark. In order for that to happen, man, we can't look at things in our life and think they're not that big a deal. I'll tell you what has kept me safe. And I'm telling you, there's people that don't prescribe this. But I'll tell you, the prescription for me to keep me safe is before as a Christian, I was a sinner. I didn't have church background. I didn't know Jesus from a hole in the wall. I had no relationship with God. And then Jesus made himself real to me. I had a huge catastrophe in my life, and it was like, oh my gosh, and everything that can be shaken was shaken. And Jesus made himself real to me. And I'm like, oh my, this Jesus stuff is real. Then a couple months later, I gave my life to Jesus, and a pastor spoke over me, and he said, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And somehow that seeded in my heart and began to flourish almost immediately. It's like something is different here. I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what it is, but God's working on the inside of me, and I know it's him. And see, we look at this, and we treat things, Eric, like it's not that big a deal. There are things God saved me from. Why would I want to go back to him and think, no, I can handle it now. It's not that big a deal. Or maybe, you know, my personality, I could do this or I could do that. And I know that you're thinking about things right now. Don't think about anything. Think about your life. Think about the things in your life that you're thinking, no, it's not that big a deal. That television show, it's not that big a deal. That movie, that music, let me tell you what's the biggest thing, I think. The biggest thing is that we have to have a healthy worship life. And I don't know that we can have a healthy worship life if we're all ADD in how we pick our music and we're going from station to station and we're listening to whatever we want to listen to. Man, we've got to listen to stuff that honors God in big, huge, full doses. And you know what? I even prefer things that honor God and lift the room. Man, if our music in here is if it's in minor keys, if it's making you feel like, oh, God, I love you, God, I don't know, I'm trying to make it, God, and man, many of the afflictions of the righteous, God, but I know you deliver. No, you know what, man, I want to hit up like this. I want that music to lift the room. Man, there's all kinds of songs where in real time, I'll turn to Brian and say, Brian, I don't like this song. He says, no. It gets a good part, then you like it. Because it goes over this bridge. I guess there's a bridge in music. I'm in the back, and man, we're going, okay, come on. Get to the bridge. Get to the good part. And then start singing the chorus. It's like, okay, good. Now, why sing all that other stuff? Just sing the chorus. Why? But I don't want a minor key. I don't want it to be. And I know nothing about music. That's all I know right there. So don't come and talk to me about music or theory or anything like that. That's it. You'll say, hey, do you like bell peppers? No. Well, why? I don't know. I just don't like them. Do you like minor songs in minor key? No, I don't like them, okay? So I don't know anything about bell peppers. I don't know anything about minor keys. I just know I don't like them. Okay, I'm a simple man. But see, we look at it, and what do we have to do? We have to have a steady diet of God's word. Listen, and it's not provisional. See, if it's just provisional in our life, if you've been in the Word today, well, I haven't had time yet today. Are you kidding? Have you eaten yet today? I take time to eat. I even get to go to the restaurant and say, this is what I want right here. I want this. And they bring it to me. And then I don't have time to get in the Word. It doesn't make sense. See, what that tells me is I have a concept of it, but not a commitment and definitely no submission to it. Man, I'll just be honest with you. I've given my life to ministry. I've given my life to helping people. It is hard. The Keith Green vision. Have any of you guys ever heard of the Keith Green vision, that he had the vision where people are drowning and we're trying to save them? And there's some people that you try to save that are drowning, they'll strike at you. They'll try to hit you. They'll try to slap you away or hit you to get away from you. And you're trying to help them. And they eventually end up drowning. There's people that we tried to help here that end up drowning. And we leave there and we have to go get stitches, or you have a black eye, or at least you're like, why did they fight us? Why did they fight me? I'm trying to save them. I'm throwing them a rope. But see, that it's interesting because there's a parallel to that. And see, and we look at it so given your life, let me just tell you, you guys that are ministry minded and ministry, we're in a time right now it's back to school time, they're starting school. People are thinking, okay, we've got to get back, we've got to have that bedtime. You got to be brushing your teeth. You got to get ready to do your homework. Do you have your pencil and your paper? Do you have your backpack ready? All that stuff. Oh yeah, we got to get back in church. Okay, that's a part of the equation. I love that. So we're gonna see people that are gonna be coming back in the next few weeks, especially on Sundays, and we gotta be ready for that. Man, it's a time of growth. The place swells in at the end of August and in September just because of that deal. People go, man, let's go find a church. And they'll go and they'll try out a few churches. And I think we're in the top couple, top few, that people will say, okay, I'll go try that. Well, you know what, man, so I want to have that, but you understand there's so much that goes into that. Man, there's some of you guys that are in and then you're out and then you're in and then you're out. Man, I had a guy help me yesterday with a tire issue I had in my car. And he said, here, I'll help you. I know you. I said, well, yeah, I'm Bill Sherry. He goes, oh, I know that. You're Pastor Bill. He said, man, I used to go to your church. Man, I was there every Sunday. But now I kind of go from church to church and I still come around the church and I'm like, how's that working for you? He goes, well, I think it's working fine. I said, well, if it's fine, it's great. I don't see how that works. My home, I don't go from home to home. I've got a home. I have a church home. I have a home. Sandy said, man, where you been? You haven't been here for your kid. I was trying out some other homes. How many of you guys think that'd go over well, huh? That sweet little Sandy had turned into a beautiful woman. But in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 14, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk among them. I'll be their God. They'll be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. And be separate, says the Lord. Don't touch what's unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be your father. You shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Chapter 7, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Somehow, man, I'm believing God for everybody in here to have a healthy dose of the fear of God. And you'll think, well, are we supposed to be scared of God? No. We should have the utmost honor for God and honor God above any pleasure, above any desire, anything that's in our lives. That's what the fear of God is. It's not that we're scared of God because he's going to squish us like a bug. But what's interesting is I go back to verse 1 in chapter 7, and what Paul says is, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. See, there's too many people that'll say, man, God, I need you to cleanse me. Or come up here to the altar and let one of the elders, Tom, pray for me. I need God to cleanse me. No, we've got to cleanse ourselves. And how we do that is we have to separate ourselves from the things that are going to bring filth into our lives. We've got to separate ourselves. If I'm back here in my life and this is where I'm trying to hit the target, once in a while I'm going to. I'm telling you, you give me 100 throws, I'll come close to that bullseye. But you know what? When I'm living here, there's probably filth here. There's probably darkness here. There's probably Belial here. There's probably all the stuff that is gonna weigh me down. It's weighty here. But the closer I get to the target, the brighter it gets, the lighter it gets. Man, the more righteous I am. Man, I get this close, I'm telling you, it's as he is on the earth, so am I. But I'm telling you, Jesus went about doing good and healing all because he was this close to the Father. He wasn't separate. He was separate from back there, the other card where we started throwing. That's where he was separate. Man, separate yourself. Otherwise, your life will always be hit and miss. Don't raise your hands, but how many guys, your life is hit and miss? It's peaks and valleys. Man, my life's like a roller coaster. No, that's not what God didn't call it. The world can ride a roller coaster. You know we're gonna be? Steady, upwardly mobile. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, that's what we are. Why? Because we are not those who miss the mark. We are a sure thing. We are accurate. We see clearly. We leave nothing to chance. How far do you have to get from that target to where you're leaving something to chance? And if you're doing it because you're leaving it your soul. You allow the devil's boot to just plant in your soul. Man, at some point, there's no recovery from it. And see, what we've got to do is we've got to get closer and closer to that mark, closer and closer to the target, closer and closer to God. And how we do that is, man, more of him and less of me. Man, empty myself out, pour myself out as a drink offering. Psalm 73:28 says, it's good for me to draw near to God. Man, I'm telling you tonight, it's good for you to draw near to God. Man, you draw near to God, what James said is he'll draw near to you. See, you got to get past the concept of it. I don't know that I'm going to be able to shake this. I think that is a strong illustration for me that some people just come in and they get a dose of the concept of what God's about, what his word's about, what his promise is about. Man, we've got to know that God's the healer. We've got to know that God's our provider. We have to know that we know that we know. In Romans 7, Paul cries out. He says, man, the things I do, I don't want to do anymore. I get pulled back into it. Man, I don't want to miss the mark anymore, which leads me to Romans 8, after Romans 7, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. This is me living in the flesh out here. Why? I'm so far from God. I'm so far away here that, you know what? It's really not going to ever touch my heart. God's never going to have access to my heart. I'm never going to be convicted. I'm going to be fine. Oh, it's not that big a deal. Man, if I want to live that life where it's just not that big a deal. Man, that grieves me when that it's not that big a deal. Man, I can make this snow look here. And you make it's like, oh my God, oh shoot, what happened? I hope that didn't hurt somebody back there. Because let me tell you, the reality of this is the guys you're connected with in life, this because it isn't what the way life is, we are not using a target stand. We got somebody holding it. You have people, your kids, your wives, your husbands, your friends, your pastor that's holding your target. And you know what, man, I'm gonna hold it. Man, I've done this for a long time. I'm not blinking, I'm not flinching. Well, let me tell you miss your target, in all likelihood, you're gonna hit who's holding that target. And see, and that's the reality of this. Man, you live for God. You're great. Man, it gets a little bit tough, right? Man, because you're committed, right? You've been in a room with no exits. So whatever temperature the room is, that's what you have to deal with. And it's always thinking about me. It's always thinking about my feelings. It's always thinking about what I could get. And you know what? You got to understand, somebody's holding that target. Somebody's just like this. And you know what? These don't bounce off. So there's people in their life that are riddled with these, got little, and you know what? How many of these could I handle? 20, 30, 50. And at some point, though, I can't handle anymore. At some point, it's like, and see, I think that that's a strong illustration. How does your life affect the people around you? How does your life affect the people that are standing, especially the people that are ministering to you? I'm not just talking about me here. Man, I'm talking about the people that are standing in the gap, that are interceding for you, that are holding that target for you to hit. Man, come on. Come on, we want to invite you to the second mile. Why? Why would we make the second mile such a big deal? Hopefully it just gets you closer to the target. Because I'll tell you what, most of ministry, man, it's not fun. It's standing in the gap of people that are on a path of destruction in their lives. But by golly, we're committed to them. I'm not going anywhere. Where am I going, Joe? I got nowhere to go. So what am I going to do? I'm going to hang on to that target. And there's people that go, no, I'm going to live where I want to live. I want to do what I want to do. Man, I'll contribute to what I want to contribute to. No, let me tell you what a tribe is. The Israelites were tribal. What a tribe is, one fight, we all fight. One's in a battle, we all battle. One rejoices, we all rejoice. One weeps, we all weep. But you know what? That's not the cush life that we want in the world. We don't want a life of God. We want comfort. We want convenience. Man, the things that I want to do in ministry, I'll just tell you. It's like, God, I want to change my whatever, because it's not convenient, the things I want to do. Let's start a church at Skytook. That's not convenient. Sorry, guys, it's just not. No offense, but I don't know that there's a progressive, life-giving church that's going to reach next generations. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not thinking anybody. That's where I want to go. I drive through a community and it's dry and it's barren, and life-giving churches are outnumbered. Let's go. Let's put a church there. Let's plant somebody there. Let's not leave them. We're a team. They fight, we fight. Let's make a difference. Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the thing. Those who live according to the Spirit, they set their mind on the Spirit. And then he goes and he says, if you set your mind in the flesh, it you reap corruption. But if you set your mind on the Spirit, you reap life and peace. The word peace is prosperity. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And that's the key. That's where I'm trying as well as I can to lead people to life and peace. I'm not looking for a commune. I'm looking for community. A community of life and peace. And I'll tell you why. Because there's 60 people in your life that you can influence. That's the average in this room. So if you think about all the people that are here, the thousands of people a week that call this their church and that are here, and the thousands of people a month that are here, it just keeps growing. Man, every one of those people, every one of them has 60 people. 60 people within their sphere of influence. Oh my gosh, we start influencing like that, we turn the world upside down. That's what I see. That's where my heart is. I don't want to go and fish out of somebody else's pond. I don't want to just go and indiscriminately plant churches because, man, if it's an easy drive to a great church, let's keep hunting. Let's keep looking. Let's go where his light is dim and his voice is small. That's what Oral said. I love that. Man, let's start hitting the mark. You just got to get closer to God. Does that make sense? Let's not miss the mark. That's sin. Ah, it's not that big a deal. No, it's a big deal. You got 60 people. Let's pack the bus, man. 60 people. There's 20 seats in the bus. That means you got to put three to a seat. Just, we're crammed on here. Where are we going? No, man. We got the right people in the bus. Doesn't matter if we're crammed. Almost doesn't matter where we're going. We got the right people in the bus. Wherever we go, we're going to do something great. I hope this helped you. I hope maybe it helped change and correct your concept of sin. Yeah, sin's filthy, dirty, corrupt, bad. It's just when we miss the mark. That's what you think. Next time you're tempted and you know it's sin, just got to get a little closer, remember? And I'm telling you, I think you start moving that direction, somebody's life depends upon it, I'm getting right up on that target and I'm jamming. I'm not taking a chance that dart. Are you, Janelle? You're jamming that dart. The whole needle goes into that target.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.